AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
Dr. Dean Baird joins us every Monday around 8:15 for Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. Pet Puri is the program, and it's a show for pet owners to make sure that we know the best ways, according to Dr. Dean and common sense, that we can take care of our little charges. Dr. Dean, good morning to you.
Morning, Carl.
Morning, Alec, over there somewhere.
Morning.
He's hiding behind his
microphone. He's kind of in his own little world.
Oh, yes. He's the producer. He is in his own world.
He's in his own mind.
That's all that really counts, isn't it?
There you go.
Must be.
Wanted to talk today because it's going to be a hot week. Here we are, probably the hottest week of the summer so far, and you said you wanted to talk about keeping our pets healthy during times of extreme heat.
Talk about heat. So
yes,
what's
sir.
The forecast? In several days in the 90s this
That's
week,
correct.
Right?
All the way up till Friday, yeah.
We haven't had temperatures like that this year.
This year.
So far. We've talked multiple times about heat stroke.
Oh, yeah.
So, we can talk a little bit about what happens, but more than what happens, I want to talk about heat stroke from the standpoint of keeping it from happening.
Okay.
There are a lot of health problems in dogs and cats that nobody can see coming, which means you can't necessarily do anything prevent it. But if you think about it from the very strict point of view, what happens with dogs and cats getting heat stroke, it's almost invariably preventable.
Wow.
Well, think about it.
I guess if
they're not exposed
to heat,
they can't get heat stroke.
Exactly, yeah.
So it means that it is completely upon the owner to keep them from getting hot.
Okay, good point.
There's just no way around it.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are extenuating circumstances that can make that more difficult. But it's still preventable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not preventable only by making sure they're inside. Because if a pet is in a house in the summer that's not air-conditioned, it's like an oven, they can get heat stroke inside just as easily as they can. Matter of fact, in an un-air-conditioned house, they might be more likely to have heat stroke than if they're outside because at least they could get in shade.
Yeah, good point.
And the shade in the house is not going to help them because it's a radiator. It's just sitting there keeping all the heat inside of it.
Wow.
And we know that they can also get heat stroke in cars.
Oh, sure.
Just like children.
Yeah.
So it's not location. It's keeping them where it's not hot.
It's the responsibility of the owner.
It's the responsibility of the owner. So it's a preventable problem.
Okay.
Now, heat stroke occurs more in dogs than in cats, primarily because cats can get heat stroke just like dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But cats that are outdoors are more able to find places that are cool because they're small and they tend to hide anyway.
Yeah.
And they don't stay out in the sun because
they
got more sense than that.
I was going to say, you know, it sounds to me like what you're saying is cats are a little bit smarter than the dogs.
I knew you was going to say that.
Because we're cat owners.
No, that's not what I'm saying. The reason that it happens with dogs is not that they're not smarter than cats. Is that with dogs, they can't get out of the heat.
Yeah.
Think about it like this. Cats are small and agile and move all over the place. They can go through and around and over and under fences and get into small holes. Dogs can't do that.
Right.
So frequently, dogs are stuck outdoors in places where they can't get out of the heat. Not for their fault, but because of where they are.
Think they ever have a conversation with a cat and go, hey, man, where do you go during the day?
Well, they can't get those places, is what I'm saying. They're not small enough to get in them.
Like a tiny crawl space
under
a car or something. Yeah.
If they're in a fenced-in lot outside, they can't get out of the fence.
And those little plastic igloo dog houses are just the worst.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's not going to keep them cool when it's hot.
Yeah.
Because
it's
just going to bake through the house.
Exactly.
Right.
So you, the owner, has to think about what the circumstances are that your dog is in that's going to allow it to be cool.
Right.
Obviously, if it's inside and air conditions on, you got it fixed.
Yep.
But you got to make sure that's happening.
Right.
Like I said earlier, because if the house is hot, they can get heat stroke inside.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely cannot leave cars with dogs and cats in.
Period.
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 Just like with children. I'm not going to talk about time and the wind is up and down and what the temperature is. You just don't do it.
Period.
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 You don't do it. Now, the difficulty in this comes in to account when you think about that dogs that are in the shade can sometimes get heat stroke. So the heat factor that determines whether dogs are at risk or not depends on not just temperature, but also depends on heat index.
Yeah.
Which is temperature, effective temperature taken by considering the air temperature and the relative humidity.
Right.
Because if the relative humidity goes up, the effective temperature of the heat index goes up.
On the, that's the actual feels like.
Yeah, that's the temperature that affects the animal just like it does us.
Exactly.
So I've seen dogs in the shed get heat stroke. Now, that's not usually going to happen, but the other factor that, that the owners have to think about is the individual dog factor, meaning there are dogs that cannot tolerate heat and cannot tolerate heat in the shade and have to be in a place with environmentally controlled air cooling, like air conditioning, because of dog factors, individual dog factors.
Specific to an individual dog.
Yeah, so what are those factors?
Yeah.
Here's the risk factors for dogs that make them more likely to get heat stroke. Any brachycephalic dog, meaning smush mouth dog, because they have smaller nares opening for air to come in, they have a smaller trachea, and dogs dissipate heat by panting. So they can't move air as quickly as dogs can that are what we call dolichocephalic, which means they have a long nose.
Okay.
Just because of the anatomy.
All right.
That includes any, as you say, smush nose breeds of dog. There's a whole list of them.
Right.
That's the first factor. Extremely young or extremely old dogs are more at risk for having heat stroke.
Just like people, as far as that
just
goes.
Like people.
Yeah.
Dogs that are either too heavy or too thin. I'm talking about two extremes again here.
Right, right.
Dogs that have heavy hair coats, which is logical. Even though I do agree that there are situations where hair coats can serve to keep dogs cooler, that advantage goes away when they're in the sun or when they're in a place where the heat's too high and they can't evaporate any heat.
Mm-hmm.
But they could if you had a water hose on them, but they're not going to do it otherwise.
Okay.
And then those dogs that have underlying health problems. Now we're primarily talking about older dogs.
Okay.
But any underlying health problem that makes a dog potentially debilitated could make it more likely to have heat stroke.
Just because the resistance factor is down.
Just because of the individual factor of the dog being able to deal with what's going on with its disease and also being able to deal with trying to do something about heat when they're exposed to temperatures that are warmer.
Right.
In particular, a few weeks ago when we did the respiratory thing, we talked about laryngeal paralysis in dogs. Do y'all remember that?
I do.
The thing that makes them have kind of a roaring sound because the vocal cords don't move.
Right.
That occurs a lot in Labrador Retrievers and other large breeds of dogs. Mm-hmm. And frequently owners don't realize that the dog has it. So if you are somebody that has a large breed dog and when they're breathing they have a roaring sound, they probably have it. It may not be bad. It may not be enough to cause them to have trouble. But if they're in situations where they're hot, it'll really exacerbate it because the fact that the vocal cords can't move keeps them from getting rid of air, which is panting is how they cool off.
So it sort of blocks it?
It blocks them from panting and moving air the way they're supposed to, and they'll get hyperthermic.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And quickly sometimes.
Yeah.
So I didn't approach this from the standpoint of going through the whole physiology of what happens with heat stroke. We've done that before.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, half of the cases, I don't know the percentage, probably half of the cases that we see die anyway. Because if once the temperature gets to a certain degree, they get so much brain damage that they can't recover.
So no amount of cooling would reverse
it. Well, you can get them cooled down, but the damage that they've got is irreversible. I wanted to talk about what can be done to prevent it, because this is one of those deals where the prevention's going to work a whole lot better than the treatment is.
And the responsibility is on the owner.
On the owner. Now, since we're talking about that, if you're at home and your dog obviously is panting and may have heat stroke, and you'll know because if they're lying on the ground and can't move, then that's going on. They've got to the point where they can't move. What do you do? Well, you want to get them to the veterinarian, but you can cool them, not with ice, for a couple of reasons. One of them is it takes a while. And you need to be taking them to a veterinary instead of putting ice on them.
Okay.
And the second one is you can make their temperature too low with ice.
Ooh.
And then you got the opposite effect, which is they have hypothermia.
Right.
But you can do it with water. Water hose is an excellent idea, particularly on a dog that's got a lot of hair. Now, granted, by the time we get them, it's like a great old big sheep that's been in a pond full of water
right.
to deal with, but that's okay. Small animals like cats and small dogs and puppies, you can get them to to cool off using alcohol on cotton balls. Because alcohol is really good about decreasing temperature, and it's particularly good to do around their foot pads and on their ears, not in their eye where they get an ulcer. But don't douse them in alcohol. I don't mean that.
Right.
I mean use it at strategic places to try to get their temperature down. And then try to get them cooled reasonably with water and get them to the veterinary as quick as you can. And we won't use ice either for the very reason that we told you, but we will try to get them cool, and that involves giving them fluids and doing other stuff. And how much time do we have?
A couple of minutes yet.
We're good. I said that I wanted to talk about this from the standpoint of preventing it. And this means that as much as anything we talk about that's a health problem, the work has to be done before it ever gets hot. Meaning, you've got to decide what you're going to do with your dog and where you're going to have it and what the circumstances are before the weather gets hot. Because if you wait, it could be too late for that to be the case if you don't think about it in time. And you got to remember, it's not always a matter of just putting them inside. It is as long as your house is cool.
Right, sure.
But it is a matter of getting them somewhere where it is cool and will stay cool.
Okay.
If it is hot and there is shade and there is a breeze, most of those animals are going to be okay, but the ones that are at risk that we've talked about that are overweight or really old or have debilitating disease or brachycephalic may not, and you're really going to have to pay attention to the situation of how they're acting where you've got them before they get too hot.
So plan your trips with your animals beforehand, absolutely.
Snakes overheat?
Yeah, because snakes are reptiles, and they can't regulate body temperature.
Right. I was going to say, just because I know there's somebody out there that's got a snake that's thinking about leaving the snake in the car.
No.
You don't want to do that either.
No. You don't want to leave any animal in a car.
Right.
You don't want to leave anything in a car if you're not going to be there.
Not going to be a snake in my car, but that's a whole other
That's another story, definitely. So you don't like spiders and snakes?
Not particularly.
No. Okay. Right. Fair enough. All
spiders right. don't have a problem with snakes or kind of. Not my animal.
Okay, well that's fine. You know, you deal in large and small animals.
You hit on something there, Carl. Took me a little too long there.
Snakes are very useful, particularly as a rodenticide.
Absolutely.
Yeah, black snakes.
So I understand
black
their
snakes,
utility.
Black snakes, corn snakes, they're all good.
And I'm kind of glad to have them around. Actually.
Yeah, actually. Okay. Well, I didn't mean to get into his reptiliological sort of thing here, but nevertheless, Dr. Dean Baird joins us every Monday around 8:15. From Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program. And he is available to us, as I said, every week. His staff is available to you 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. They are at 4340 North Roan Street in the Boones Creek community of Johnson City. And what's that phone number, Doc?
282-3771.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.